Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you this morning and to be awake, to be a child of God, knowing that my God is greater than all gods. Who is so great a God as our God? And the answer is none. Hallelujah. None. There is no God greater than our God. The little g's are made of man-made material, but our God created man. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning for a new day, a beautiful day that he has given us, which means he has given us a do-over. If you are listening to my voice, you have been given a do-over to be better today than you were yesterday. You know, I was just so grateful yesterday. I got a call from a friend of mine. Whew, friend of mine who was a wonderful woman of God who showed strength in the midst of so many things. And all I can say is thank you, God, for allowing me to hear her voice one more time. I just thank God. God gives you the people in your life for a reason. And I'm thankful that I am allowed to be a caregiver for senior citizens. I'm allowed to do that job that I do because I love it. And I love the people I work with. They are my friends. They are my mentors. They are the people that give you good advice. And the ones that pray for you. There's nothing like a grandmother's prayer. And I feel like they're all my grandmothers and moms. I have one mom and the rest of their mothers. But I'm grateful. And I'm thankful. And I'm blessed to be in the ministry of help. Thing you do for God. How you treat your fellow man, you may be the only Jesus they see. And when they see how you act as a Christian, a true Christian, they become interested in being and like you. And if they love each other, they smile, they are happy, they give without asking for anything in return. They have joy. And I know they got things going on worse than me, but they are happy. Why are they so happy? Because they have the joy of the Lord, because they know that their God is greater than any God. That even when we're going through our troubles, God is with us. And when you have that in your heart, everything else falls into place. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with hearts open and ready to receive all that you have for us, God. We're ready to receive your hope in our future. Your love, your kindness, your grace, your mercy. We're open to receive more of you, God. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, as I ask every day. Lord, let it not be about me, but all about you. Let your word go forth, and let it touch someone's heart, mind, and spirit. Father God, I pray for families today that have lost loved ones to violence. All violence, not just gun violence, but all violence, oh God. I pray for our children, God, as summer has started and all are out of school. Lord God, I pray for you to put a hedge of protection around our babies this summer as they navigate many in fear. Father God, remove fear from our children. and put in hope for a future. That they are loved and they are cared for and they are protected by your angels, oh God. Father God, as this word goes forth and as you increase and I decrease, I pray, Lord God, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart with holy and divine sight. For you are my strength, my redeemer, oh God. And I thank you for forgiving me my sin. And I forgive them those that have sinned against me. Lord God, give me a clean slate and a clean heart and a right spirit within me before I open your word to read your word, to teach your word, to meditate on your word. I ask for strength. I ask for you, God. More of you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I cannot, and I would not attempt to do this without him. So many times we think we can do it all by ourselves, but we can't. I know I can't. I wouldn't even try. Wow. You know how God is absolute. This morning, I was looking through my prayer, get a prayer every day, or a scripture every day from Bible Gateway, which I will, if you have no Bible apps on your phone, again, not being paid by In Touch Ministries to read the Word of God from Dr. Stanley's Bible, study Bible, disclaimer, not being paid to say Israel Houghton and Kirk Franklin are the bomb, and as well as Frederick Wilson II, that those musicians are all that to me. Don't want to be hawking anybody's anything. Just saying, get albums from those people that you know love God. And but the word that God gave me this morning on Bible Gateway, I just happened to open my Bible that I'm getting ready to read out of this morning. And I got this little book that I gave out. I give out scriptures to the women's ministry. On the back, I gave out little pennies, and they were pennies from heaven is what we call them. But I was on Twitter this morning, and this young lady is dealing with stage 4 cancer. And the word that God gave me to send to her was Isaiah 40 and 31, which was my scripture for today. And as I opened my Bible, this little card that I had put in it from what I had pulled, because you just pull a word off. It's random. And every time we've done it, every word that's been pulled off of these scriptures, and of these things and of these words of encouragement were what the person needed. And the word of encouragement that just came to me as I opened my Bible says, I pray you would feel God's strength. I pray you would feel God's strength in a mighty way during this season of waiting. And the word that says, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And we know we don't amount up like Jesus. Hallelujah, we're going to wait on the Lord. We're not going to get weary. But this, and it says, never yield to gloomy anticipations. Place your hope and confidence in God. He has no record of failure. Wow. Every time you need a word from God, he will send it to you. Pray you would feel God's strength in a mighty way during the season of waiting. Never yield to gloomy anticipation. Place your hope and confidence in God. He has no record of failure. Letty Kalman. God has no record a failure. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. And we're going to trust him today and always, because there is no God greater than our God. No God greater than our God. As I believe Rashawn says, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than any other. Hallelujah. We are grateful to be children of the one true God. This morning we are coming out of the 77th Psalm. We're coming out of Proverbs 19. And then we will be in First Chronicles. And we'll be starting at chapter 8. So let's get in our word this morning. I am coming out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible for the 77th Psalm this morning. And it says there's confidence in a time of crisis. We're going to wait on the Lord today, because there's no God like our God. And it says, I cry aloud to God. Aloud to God, and he will hear me. I sought the Lord in my day of trouble. My hands were continually lifted up all night long. Hallelujah. I refuse to be confident. I think of God. I groan. I meditate. My spirit becomes weak. You have kept me from closing my eyes. I am troubled and cannot speak. I consider days of old, years long past. At night, I remember my music. I meditate in my heart, ponder. Will the Lord reject forever and never again show favor? Has his faithful love ceased forever? Is his promise at an end for all generations? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? So I say I am grieved that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will remember the Lord's works. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders. I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions. God, your way is holy. What God is great like God? The devil is a lie. You not take forth this morning. Especially when I'm talking about my God. Hallelujah. Because my God is greater than a God. All the little G's are nothing but made by hand material. They are man-made, but my God made man. Hallelujah. God, your way is holy. What a God is great. What God is great like God. You are the God who works wonders. You revealed your strength among the people. With power, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The water saw you, God. The water saw you. It trembled. Even the depths shook. The clouds poured down water. The storm clouds thundered. Your arrows flashed and forth. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Lightning lit up the world. The earth shook and quaked. Your way went through the sea. Your path through the vast water. For your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. God will part our Red Sea. All we have to do is wait on the Lord. All we have to do is know that nobody greater than our God. No little G can stand up to our big God. Nobody. is like our God. And he gives us strength. He gives us wisdom. He gives us everything we need. You know, we get caught up in what we need and not what is best for us. Lord, I mean, what we want and not what we need and what is best for us. God, you are in charge of our life. You are that big G. You are big daddy. You are big father. You are big everything. You are God. And all we can say is we put our life in your hands. For you are in charge of everything. I give God glory this morning. And as I went through the word, I'll come back to life lessons and questions after the word this morning if time permits. And when we go to Proverbs chapter 19, starting at verse 10, it says this, luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Man, get folks get bit out of shape over somebody accidentally stepping on their foot, or somebody accidentally touches them, and then they're ready to kill somebody. When it's an accident. And all they say, and they say, excuse me, but you don't want to accept the excuse me. You pushed me on purpose. You did this. No. Somebody talking to a friend accidentally bump you doesn't make you the number one enemy that you got to kill with. Folks dying over stupid stuff like that. We got to learn how to overlook a bump. Sometimes folks don't even see you. And you getting all bent out of shape. Well, they push me, and I'm going to have to tell them something. No, you need to go sit down somewhere and contemplate on the word of God. Then he goes on to say, the king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. All I got to say is Nehemiah got favor. We all have gotten favor in our life. I thank God for favor. I thank God for the hope in the future. I thank God for his love and for his kindness and for his goodness and for his mercy. I thank God for just being who he is, an awesome and mighty God who loves his children. And this is what it goes on to tell us in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 13 through 14. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. We read this the other day, and I tell you, it is, you know, you cannot deal with a woman that's always screeching and hollering about something. You know, we got to learn how to be at peace we feel in our spirit. Everything is not an argument. Everything you don't have to holler and scream about. Because what happens is, if you are hollering and screaming all the time, whoever you're hollering and screaming at is going to tune you out. They're going to stop listening. Keep your loud voice for when it's really, really, really important. Because then, if you have to use that, did I not call you? And use that middle name. Did I not call you, Bridget Marie? Oh, you know, you better move. When they use that middle name, you know you're in trouble. You better get it moving. You know, it's not a little Marie, it's a big Marie. Oh boy, you better move. That's what parents are. But we don't want to be contented parents. And we don't want to be disobedient children. Daddy God is not screaming at you. He speaks very calmly. But you have to be quiet so you can listen. And it goes on to tell us houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Pray the Lord that you are a prudent wife if you are a wife, and that you were a prudent wife if you are a widow. Hallelujah. I thank God every day for the great man of God that he gave me. Thank him every day for my blessings and for the overflow. Hallelujah. God said, you got to give some stuff away, girl. And I'm like, yes, I do, Lord. And we all do. We all have some things you got to give away. Sometimes the good things you got to give away. Sometimes the bad things you got to give away. But a lot of times there's a whole bunch of stuff you need to give away. And this is what it goes on to tell us as well. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Come on now. You got folks so lazy they won't get up to eat. And then folks find a bed in their bed because they were just too lazy to get up and go eat. Food in the refrigerator is spoiling, but they just don't feel like getting up and just roll over and sleep their life away. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, I said again, and an idle person will suffer hunger. The commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. It's in the book. All we got to do is open it up. Open up the Word of God, and it will make sense. It will give you everything you need and more than you could ever ask for. Because God's Word is what it is true. God's Word is true, and it's true all the time. Not just sometimes, but all the time. God's Word is true. And as it tells us in Proverbs verses 17 through 19, he who has pity on the poor, come on now, lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. You reap what you sow. When you sow in the good ground, you reap a great crop. But we have to take care of others. We have to give to others. If you don't trust somebody on the street getting a dime, then give to a charity that you know helps the homeless and feeds the homeless. Give to others and take care of the poor. That's what our instructions are. Chasing your son while there is hope, and that is when they are little. Don't come trying to chase them, somebody when they're 15, 16 years old, when you should have been doing it when they was 4 and 5 and 5 and 6. You know, because once they're bigger than you, you can't do nothing. That's why you put the fear of God in them when they're small. So they think that you're bigger than every mountain out there. And then when you talk about God, they know that God is bigger than even mommy and daddy. And they will listen, thanking God every day. I have not had a child go to jail, not had a child in any kind of trouble. I'm grateful for that. I am grateful, and I thank God every day that godly men reside in my house, that they are willing to work and do what they're supposed to do. Thanking God that they pay their debt and they do what they're supposed to do. And it goes on to say, chasing the sun while there is hope, family. And do not set your heart on its destruction. You got folks that say, huh, I just wish he was dead. Talking about their children. And then they're hollering and whooping when God answers their prayer. You better be careful what comes out of your mouth. Because what you can say can take your children out. Don't curse your kids. Just like his wife and dad. Watch yourself, ladies. Don't talk about your children. I don't know where this message is coming from, but I know it's coming from God because this was not my plan this morning. God will take you where he wants you to go. And I tell you this, this word is important. Proverbs and Psalms. The Psalms and the Proverbs, the Psalm and Proverbs or books of understanding and anguish. David went through some stuff. Solomon spoke words of wisdom that we can live by to this day. If you're going through, go to Psalm, go to Proverbs. If you go to Psalm and a Proverb, when you need some wisdom, go to Proverbs. When you need God to just hear your voice, find a Psalm. Psalm has a purpose and a reason. And they are for us to cry out to God. Psalms are prayers. A psalm is that we can pray for God to hear us. And it goes on to tell us, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment, but if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. We see it every day. Every day. And as we go through so many things in this nation, we are finding so much going on. And all you can say is, Lord, help us. Help us, Jesus, get through this day. Help us, Jesus, get through this day. And as we go into our First Chronicles, words, we're in First Chronicles chapter 9. And it talks about genealogy. This is all about who's your daddy. You know, when you go through Chronicles, it's a who your daddy thing. It gives you every generation of who your daddy. And this one begot that one, and that one begot that one, and that one begot that one, and that one begot that one. And it's a whole bunch of begot. And then it gives you a glimpse of a great begot. When we talked about enlarging territory, because he was a good man. This begot was one of the good ones. And then you got the Ahaz and the Ahabs and all the bad ones. But then you get a glimpse and you get a Josiah. You know, there's good kings all through this genealogy. But there's some bad people also. So we all know that even in our own family, that we have some folks that are just not nice. But God. And it says, so all Israel were recorded by genealogies, and indeed they were inscribed in the book of the kings of Israel. But Judah was carried away captive to Babylon before their unfaithfulness because of their unfaithfulness. And the first inhabitants who dwelt in their possessions in their cities were Israelites, Levites, and the Nethinim. Now in Jerusalem the children of Judah dwelt, and some of the children of Benjamin, and of the children of Ephraim and Manasseh, Utah, the son of Aminahat, the son of Amari, the son of Imari, the son of Minai, of the descendants of Perez, the son of Judah, of the Sholonites, Asa, Asiah, the firstborn, and his sons, of the sons of Zerah, Jeul, and their brothers, 690 of the sons of Benjamin. And it goes on to tell us all through this, the genealogy of the sons of Judah, of the Levites. And we're not reading every one of these in this particular Chronicles. God has just put it in my heart to just give overview of the Chronicles. But it gives us everything we need, and it talks about who belongs to Shalom. If you go to verse 19, the son of Korah, the son of Ebeshah, son of Korah, and his brethren from his father's house, the Korahites, were in charge of the work of the service, gatekeepers of the tabernacle. Their fathers had been keepers of the entrance to the camp of the Lord, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, had been the officer over them in the time past. The Lord was with him. Zechariah, the son of Meshelemiah, the keeper of the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So it also gives you position when you go through the Chronicles. It's one of those books that gives you everything you need to tell you who belongs to who and what they did for God. And if we go to verse 22, it says, all those chosen as gatekeepers were 212. They were recorded by the genealogy in their villages. David and Samuel, the seer, had appointed them to their trusted office, so that they and the children were in charge of the gates of the house of the Lord, the house of the tabernacle by assignment. The gatekeepers were assigned to the four directions, the east, the west, the north, and south, and their brethren in their villages had to come with them from time to time for 7 days. But in this trusted office were four chief gatekeepers. They were Levites, and they had charge over the chambers, the children of the house of God, and they lodged all around the house of God because they had the responsibility. And they were in charge of opening it every morning. Now, some of them were in charge of the serving vessels, for they brought them in and took them out by count. Some of them were 40 over the furnaces and over all the implements of the sanctuary, over the fine flour and the wine and the oil and the incense and the spices. And some of the sons of the priests made the ointment of the spices. Methanai of the Levites, the firstborn of Shalom, the Korahites, had the trusted office over the things that were baked in the pans. And some of their brethren of the sons of the Korahites were in charge of preparing the showbread for every Sabbath. These are the singers, heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites, who lodged in the chambers and were free from other duties. But they were employed in that work day and night. These heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites were heads throughout their generations. They dwelt at Jerusalem. Jael, the father of Gibeon, whose wife's name was Maacah, dwelt at Gibeon. His first son was Abdon, then Zer, Kish, Nadab, Gedar, Ahio, Zechariah, Mikloth, and Mikloth begot Shemim. They also dwelt alongside their relatives in Jerusalem with their brothers. Mary begot Kish begot Saul, Saul begot Jonathan, Machias, Abinadab, Ishmael. The son of Jonathan was Mirabel, and Mirabel begot Micah. The son of Micah was Dijon, Nevet, Derah, Ahaz. Ahaz begot Jerah. Jerah begot Elimeth, Ezemath, and Jamari. Jamari begot Maza. Maza begot Minai, and Bathanai had son, and Elisha son, and Azel son, and Azel had six sons whose names were these. And he goes on to tell us who they were. Again, who's your daddy? God has given you a lineage of who you belong to. And it goes on and gives us an understanding that in that time, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain at Mount Gibeah. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, Machiah, Saul's sons. The battle became fierce against Saul, and we read everything. So when you look at 1 Kings and 1 Chronicles, you're looking at the same story, but they're giving you the whole lineage in Chronicles. And it says in Kings, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings? So we're looking at the Chronicles of the Kings. But we've already, as you said, haven't I heard that before? Yes, you have. It's in the King, 1 Kings. So if you look at these two books, they mirror. 1 Kings gives you the whole story. Chronicles gives you the lineage of who's who. So, and it gives you a snippet of the story. Like when we talk about David, it doesn't tell you all of that, that Sheba was Uriah's wife and she was pretty and he called her over. All this, it doesn't give you all that. It gives you a snippet because it is more about the genealogy of who belongs to who. Who's your daddy? It's pretty much the Chronicles. And, you know, I'm sure there are those that are in theologian circles who would say, well, you're just kind of making it base. But, you know, sometimes you have to make it base for everybody to understand. And as we go forward, it says this, and it says, so Saul and his three sons died and all his house died together. And then, and when all the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that they had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook their cities and fled. Then the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it happened the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his sons falling at Mount Gibeah. And they stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent word throughout the land of Philistines to proclaim the news in the temple of their idols and among the people. Then they put his armor in the temple of the gods and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. And when all with Gilead heard all that, that the Philistines had done to Saul, and all the valiant men arose and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, and they brought them to Jebus and buried their bones under the Tamarack tree at Jebus, at Gabbash, and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his own unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord, therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Basic and simple. It didn't go through all the extra stories that we have in 1 Kings, but it made it basic and it made it simple so that we can understand it. And as we continue in 1 Chronicles, it tells us, then all Israel came together to David and Hebron, saying, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also in time past, even when Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord your God said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. But the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, you shall not come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. Now David said, whoever attacks the Jebusites first shall be chief captain. And Joab, the son of Zerah, went up first and became chief. Then David dwelt in the stronghold. Therefore, they called it the city of David. And he built the city around it, from Milo to the surrounding area. Joab repaired the rest of the city. So David went on and became great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. Now there were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord according concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had: Jashabim, the son of Hetmonite. He had lifted up his spear against 300. Killed by him at one time. These were men that we've already read about in 1 Kings. But the understanding is it tells the story again in the Chronicles of the Kings so that everybody understands who these mighty men were. David had the men that didn't play. They followed him. Some were good, some were not. But they followed him all through his exile, followed him through from up to down, through famine, through flat fast. They followed him, and they loved him, and they wanted to be with him. And it tells us all of who they are, and the three of the 30 chief men went down to the Rock of David into the cave of Adullam, and the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. And we know David asked for a cup of cold water, and some of these guys went in and got it. Let's go down to the story. Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So the three broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was at by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, oh my God. Come on now. No God is greater than our God. Oh my God, that I should do this, shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives in jeopardy? For at the risk of their lives, they brought it. Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Come on now. David did not play. He had some mighty, mighty men who didn't. They weren't cowards. They was ready to fight. And we got to be mighty warriors for God, ready to fight, ready to fight whatever God says it's time. We got to get up and go to work. It's time to fight for the souls of our families, fight for the souls of our churches. Churches are closing on a regular basis. Every time you turn around, you think of church, and that church is closed. Or that church has moved to the gym of a school, or that church is, you know, out of a hotel because they closed and couldn't afford to keep the building. Because folks wasn't going, so they quit paying tithes. Understand your tithes keep your churches open. Your church should not have to have a fish dinner, chicken dinner, rib plate because the people in the church ain't paying their tithes, are not paying their tithes. We've got to pay our tithes, and we pay our tithes faithfully. It's not about you. It's about keeping God's house. You got to pay your bills. So don't you think the church has to pay it? It's bills. And you are the ones that pay the bills for your church. You keep the lights on. If it's hot and the air is not working, you need to pay more tithes so the air is working. So you can afford to get that central air. Or you can afford to get that air conditioner. Whatever the church needs, we are the ones that are employed to the employer to give to our employee, the church, which is our tithe. As you get paid, the church should get paid to take care of what needs to be done. The window needs to be paid your tithe. The heat is on in the wintertime, that's why you pay your tithe. The water, the air, all those things are why you pay your tithe. You're not paying your tithes for your pastor to drive the Mercedes. Because I would guarantee you, most pastors have jobs and are not dependent on their churches to take care of them. And worked her whole entire life. And everything she has, she worked for. Understand, we got to get out of that nonsense. Well, I'm not paying my tithes. We ain't going to be driving a Mercedes on my dime. I'm taking the bus. But he's driving, I ain't got that. No, you pay your tithes because you pay them to God. Would a man rob God? Our great and mighty God, there's no other God like him. I would not want to do that. I don't want no money on my life and on my finances. I'm paying my tithes. I hope you pay yours, too. Don't know where that came from, but okay, God. And as we continue in our word in the Chronicles, it tells us who everybody was, David and men. And when we go to chapter 12, it says, now these were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers in the war, armed with the bows, using both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows with the bow. They were of Benjamin, Saul's brother. The chief was Ahaziah and Joash, the sons of Shemaiah, the Gibeonite, Jezeel, and Belit, the sons of Azmavet. And he goes on to tell us who they all were. It says some of the Gittites joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness. Mighty men of valor, men trained for battle, who could handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as gazelles on the mountains. Isaiah the first, Obadiah the second, Eliab the third, Mishmaniah the fourth, Jeremiah the fifth, Atai the sixth, Eel the seventh, Jehanan the eighth, Elzabad the ninth, Jeremiah the tenth, Nethaniah the 11th. These were from the sons of Gad, captains of the army. The least was over 100, and the greatest was over 1,000. These are the ones who crossed the Jordan in the first month, when it had overflowed at its base, and they put to flight all those in the valleys to the east and to the west. The Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold, and David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, if you have come peacefully to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hand, may the God of the fathers look and reject it. Then the spirit came upon on my side, chief of the captives, and he said, I was David. On your side, O son of Jesse, peace to you, and peace to your helpers, for your God helps you. Woo! So David received them and made them captains of the Jews, and some from Manasseh defected to David when he was going with the Philistines to battle against Saul. But they did not help them, but the lords of the Philistines sent him away by agreement, saying he might defect to his master Saul and endanger our ears. When he went to Ziklag, those of Manasseh who defected to him were Adnah, Jozabad, Jediah, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, and Zedekiah, captains of the thousands who were with Manasseh. And it goes on to tell us, and they helped David against the hands of raiders, but they were almighty men of valor, and they were captains in the army. For at that time they came to David day by day to help him army, like the army of God. God will send you what you need when you need it. All you have to do is be real and know that he is God. Through all his tough times, David depended on God. Through all our tough times, we must depend on God, because God is in charge of everything. And as just as before we get out of here, a couple of life examples. This is a life example for our psalm as well as for this chronicle. It is the key to surviving the tough times in life. We know David was going through. We know Moses went through. We know that the apostles and disciples went through after the death of Christ. We know Jesus went through it all for us. And as we go in and say this, we can probably agree that the tough times of life are inescapable. Difficult circumstances will take place in every person's life. Of course, some of the troubles we experience are those we bring upon ourselves. Got the I brought it on myself t-shirt. While others are the result of what God is doing in our life. However, what is important is the way we respond to those tough times. That's what is truly going to make a difference in us. We must decide whether we're going to let our burdens develop us or destroy us. Our success hinges upon our attitude and response to our circumstances. And we say all the time, your attitude will determine your altitude. What is your attitude today? Are you believing that there is only one God? Are you believing that he is in charge of everything? Who is so great a God as our God? And I can answer that, none. There is no God like our God. There is no other like our God. He is absolute. He is great. He is greatly to be praised. And don't play with him. Don't mess with God, talking like you know everything. We know nothing. We are not even a speck in the radar of knowledge. We are just gaining some. Every day you open this word, you gain a knowledge that you can use. You gain some little bit of information that will get you through the day. God is great and greatly to be praised. And don't take him for granted. Don't take a father for granted. Don't take your mothers and your earthly fathers for granted. Because there are some, I wish they did. So grateful that I can travel with my mom. I am so grateful that my mom is in her right mind, still looking cute as a button and sweet as it can be, but don't take her sweetness for granted because she has a spine of steel. A spine of steel. But she has a forgiving heart. Some things just need to be left, as you say, put it in the grave and leave it alone. And mind your own business. That's my mama's favorite saying. Mind your own business. And when you mind your own business for 6 months and mind your own business for the next 6 months, you minding your own business and staying out of other people. So we need to mind our own business. But because David did not play, he minded his business and got the job done and became king. And as we continue in this word, it goes on to tell us. And thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this life example. So think about how the Israelites responded to their trials as they fled Egypt for the promised land. Some, like Moses and Joshua, engaged the long, arduous journey with confidence in God, and their character became stronger because of it. Yet there were also Israelites who were faithless, and they crumbled beneath their loads because they refused to trust in God. The difference was that way they responded to their problems. And I say all the time, we got to tell our problems about our God. Some of the most godly men and women I know are those who have walked through the most difficult times of heartbreak, loss, and persecution. However, through all it all, they committed themselves to being godly, strong, and courageous. And I thank God for the women in my life, and I thank God for all of you. I thank God for evangelists, that, and they know who they are. Thank you, because I see the strength in all of you. I see, I never lived the life that y'all may have lived, but I see the strength in you, and all I can say is thank you, God, for putting them in my life to speak over my life. You know, because we don't realize all of us didn't go through the same thing. Some of us didn't have drug addictions. Some of us were not promiscuous. Some of us was not in the world. But that doesn't mean that we were not called. Because God calls you from where you are. And the fact of the matter is that we got to be grateful for the ones that went through, because they went through to make even us stronger. Because we can admire them and admire their strength and know that faith in God is stronger than anything. Anything, they have strength of steel because they went through and God brought them through, and they can testify to the greatness of God. We got to get out of that snobbery of well, you know, they didn't go to school to be this. So what? They were called by God. And we got to understand God calls us from the deepest depths to the highest heights. God calls us, not us. We don't call ourselves. God called us to this position. Some of the most godly men and women, I love this word, Dr. Stanley, I know are those who have walked through the most difficult times of heartbreak, loss, and persecution. However, through it all, they committed themselves to being godly, strong, and courageous, to continue trusting God no matter what happened. Though they just ordinary people, they learned the key to surviving the tough times of life. Thank you, God, those women and men who have gone through to help those of us that may not have gone through what they've gone through. But maybe we can help them go through what we've been through, that we can all help each other. Because God, you sent us all through to make us stronger, because you cannot have weaklings in your army. And as we continue in this word, speaking of Moses, Hebrews 11 and 27 tells us, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses understood that no circumstance was too difficult for God. And so he knew that any problem or obstacle he encountered was surmountable through the wisdom and power of God. This is the means by which we can have that indomitable faith that can conquer any dilemma. We can be strong and hold up under any crushing pressure with the knowledge that God will deliver us out of it. And I say this morning, have you discovered that yet? Are you aware that every moment of your life you are in the presence of Almighty God, and that he is sovereign, loving, all-knowing and faithful. You should be trusted. He is always with you, helping you, providing for you, protecting you. There is no trouble, heartache, loss, or suffering that his loving hand can guide you through. Fully count on him, then you'll not only survive the tough times, you'll triumph in them. And again, there's no God greater than our God. And as we finish up this morning, a couple of words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, who was not able to get a word in with yesterday morning prior to our show. But this is what it says yesterday. Good morning. When we continue to worship, our worries will continue to wither. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And I tell you, everything is on point for this morning. Your worth doesn't have to be earned or proved. It already exists. Always know that you have value because you are valuable to God. You are valuable to God. And you are God's children. You are God's chosen. You are special. And all we have to do is believe who we belong to. Who do you belong to today? Do you belong to the Most High God? Because I tell you, he loves you more than you can imagine. He loves you more than you can imagine. And as we go into our word for this morning, our prayer, and it says this, make you proud. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2 and 5, NRSV. Father, as your image bearer, I want to make you proud of how I represent you in my life, with truth guiding my mind and your faithful love as my motivation. I offer all I am to serve your purposes on the earth. May your kingdom be made real in my life so everyone who knows me sees that your goodness is real and is accessible to all. Thank you for filling my life with your mercy and grace so I am able to partner with you in extending compassionate kindness to others. Let me be diligent in exhibiting your character and sharing your heart with those around me. I ask for boldness to reveal the meaning of my own life to those who are unfamiliar with your ways. There is no one like you, perfect Father, and I want all the world to know the transformation you bring. You are a master resource, melting hearts of stone and loving the dead to life. And the question for today is, what in others makes you proud to know them? And I just spoke on it. I'm proud of all of the women I know. And I thank God for allowing me to be a minister over women's ministry. Ladies, y'all are awesome. And I'm grateful to be the director. And I am grateful to be a part of God's ministry and God's house. Thank God today for all that he has done. And remember, he is the greatest thing you will ever know in your life. Who is so great a God as our God? The answer is none. Have a blessed day, family, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are a child of the Most High God and that you are loved. Hallelujah. You are loved. And remember, everything happens for purpose and for a reason. God is calling all of us today to go to work for the kingdom. Work for our God because there's no one like him and nobody greater than our God. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are special and you are loved. And I thank Jesus again for his sacrifice and his love for us that he gave his life. Be blessed. It's a wrap.